So I know it's been a couple of weeks since I spoke with you guys. And one thing that I just wanted to share first is I sent out two messages in the week about the Bible reading plan that we're going through as a church. And I know this is a new journey together, but the hope is that we would be able to study the Bible together. Okay, now I know statistically there are probably only a few of us who are probably really serious about actually studying the Bible. And maybe the rest of us, we have maybe a little bit of a desire, maybe no desire at all. But for the ones that are serious, those are the ones who I would love to go on the journey with you of studying the Bible together, understanding God's word, gaining a deeper knowledge of God's word, and actually growing to become more like Jesus Christ. And so how it's going to work over this next season is that each week there will be a chapter for us to read on our own throughout the week. So this past week it was Genesis chapter 1. This coming week it will be Genesis chapter 2. And the whole point is that throughout your week, whether it's reading through Genesis or reading through other parts of the Bible, that we would be spending time with God throughout our week. And then when we come for service on Sunday, the hope is that during Sunday school, it will now be open to everyone in the English ministry, that for that half an hour time period, we will discuss what we learn from the reading throughout the week. We'll discuss pretty much three basic questions. One is, what is God teaching? What is his command? What is God saying about me as a Christian through his word and how he wants me to grow in my character? And the third is, how can we apply the word of God to our life? So we're not just reading, but we're also looking to see how we can apply it. Okay, and so if you are interested, if you would like to be a part of this journey, then I encourage you to commit not only to the reading, but also to the time that we will have after service, because I believe that it will be a great time where we will grow together. Okay, the second thing that I wanted to share before actually doing a little bit of a review is I wanted to build on Pastor Lamb's message from last week. And if you weren't here, Pastor Lamb was sharing about the seven phrases of Jesus Christ on the cross. And last week he was sharing about how Jesus, while he was on the cross, he looked at the beloved disciple John and his mother Mary and was essentially entrusting Mary to John. And the practical application that Pastor Lamb shared was, as Christians, it's our responsibility to care for our relatives, care for our parents, and care for our family. And I wanted to reiterate that point, that yes, as Christians, it is important for us to care for our relatives and parents. But I also felt, just to add one additional thing to that, to kind of build on what Pastor Lamb was sharing. And I wanted to say that our commitment to our families, to our parents, if you are a younger person, should not become an idol in our lives, where that commitment is more important than our commitment to Christ and his commands. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean that, yes, it's important that we care for our family, but caring for our family should not be the only focus of our Christian life or our Christian journey. Jesus says that if family is the only thing that we're focused on, then it's called idolatry. We should also be focused on what Jesus has called us to do, which is make disciples, share the gospel, and be missional with our lives as well. If all we do with our lives is focus on caring for our families, then we've missed the point of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said this to his disciples and to us. He said, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is essentially saying this. If I were to ask you, do you love Jesus? We would all say yes, verbally with our mouth. But verbally with our mouth actually means not that much to Jesus. Because we can say something verbally with our mouth and then live completely different to what we are confessing or professing with our mouth. And so Jesus is saying, well, if you love me, if we love Jesus, then it will be shown in how we live and what we commit our life to. And if we simply just focus on caring for our family, building a good career, building a good life here on earth, Jesus says we would have missed the point. And we're not worthy of being his, because his call in our life is to go and make disciples. Go and tell others about him. And live with his type of character and humility. This is what it means. And if we actually understand that when we became a Christian, our life is not our own anymore. That's very hard logically to understand. But we understand that we're not just living for ourselves anymore, but we're living for Christ. We're living for what he wants. And this is what Jesus says it means to be a disciple. And I know I've shared this over and over and over. But you know, I think for many of us growing up in a culture where we've understood that, for most of us, we've understood that our faith is about us. It's hard when we hear that our faith is not necessarily about us, but it's about God. It's not meant to be self-centered, but it's to be Christ-centered. Centered on Christ, not centered on us. And so how we live needs to be with that perspective and that mentality. So with that said, I wanted to just do a little review on what I've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. About 3 weeks ago, I talked about reverence. That when we actually gather together for service, there needs to be a level of reverence before God. And I know that sometimes there are distractions like technical difficulties, PowerPoint's not working, different things not working. But I'm going to encourage you guys that in this season, and I've studied through the scripture, and this is why we're going on this journey together, is that there are certain things that God desires according to his word, that when the church meets together. And one of the biggest things that he desires is reverence. That we approach him with reverence. That means that if somebody's reading the Bible, we probably should not be talking to our friend that is beside us, but we should actually be trying to listen to the word of God. This is not just a regular book, but this is the actual alive and powerful word of God being read and being shared. And there's a level of reverence that we are to approach the word of God with. God says that when he spoke in the days of old, people would tell God, stop talking. Please, God, I cannot hear your voice anymore. Because that's just how powerful the voice of God is. If God were to literally speak to us right now, most of us would probably die from hearing his voice. That's the type of special being that he is. Except sometimes in church, we come casually, somebody's doing the scripture reading, and we think, well, hey, it's okay, I just have a little conversation with my friend beside me. And those are the types of things that God looks upon, and he says, no, guys, you're getting it wrong. You're missing the point. You're not understanding this type of reverence that you are to approach me with and approach his word with. And so reverence is important if we are to understand what pleases God. That when we gather together to worship, that we're here for him. At least I hope that for most of us, we're here for him, to worship him, to focus on him, and to understand how he wants us to grow. And so reverence is an area that we are all growing in. And the other harsh truth and reality about God's word is that he says, not every church gathering is pleasing to him. Just because a group of Christians meet and call it church or call it a church service doesn't mean that the worship and the praise is pleasing to God. In fact, many times in the Old Testament, he would tell the believers, the Jewish people, the people gathering in the temple, the people gathering for church, just stop. It's better that you do nothing if you're going to approach me with a heart that is not reverent, than do something and try to say that it's something that is going to please God by just going through the motions. God told many people, just stop. It's better to do nothing than to approach him with a lack of reverence. So I share this because we need to think about that. When we come in on Sunday to gather for worship, I ask you guys to prepare your hearts before you come through those doors. Not prepare your hearts to come here to necessarily socialize, although that would be a good part of it, but to prepare your hearts to come and to meet with God and to worship God. Because my hope as a pastor, whichever church I'm connected to, is that we would grow to a place where we show God the reverence that he deserves. And that our gathering, our service time would be pleasing to him. That we would leave after that hour and a half and know that, hey, God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, was pleased with our time together, with our worship, with our praise. The second thing that I talked about was spiritual maturity. Remember, we had some grown men up here drinking baby bottles, eating baby food, and the whole idea was that as Christians, we're meant to grow. That we can't be a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, yet still in the same place, with our understanding, our knowledge of the Bible, in the same place spiritually, not growing to become like Christ, not growing to do the same things that Christ did. And so spiritual maturity is important. And this is even why we're going on this journey of studying the Bible together. So that wherever you are right now as a Christian, there is an opportunity to grow. There's an opportunity to mature. And this is necessary and essential for us as Christians to spiritually mature. And then the last time I spoke, I talked about running the race, that we are going to need to endure through trials and difficulties as Christians if we are going to run our races well for Jesus, and that we need to focus on Christ. We need to run our races letting go of the sin. Remember, Samuel was here with all the weights on his back, and it was just illustrating all the things that hold us down to run freely the way that God wants us to. And we need to take time to see what is the sin in our lives. What are the distractions in our lives? What are the negative influences in our lives that we need to let go of and shed off so that we can run our races focused on that finish line, focused on Christ. And so today, I want to talk about a Christ-centered gathering. And we're talking about what it means to be a healthy church. That if we are a healthy church, it means that Jesus is at the center of everything that we do. What does Christ-centered actually mean? This is the definition. Christ-centered is where Jesus Christ is the central figure and ultimate motivation for thought, word, and deed. Whatever decision we make in life, do we think about Jesus and our commitment to Him and our commitment to the kingdom? This is what Jesus is teaching us and commanding us to do. He's saying that whatever decision we make, whether that's a decision with our life to do something, whether it's a decision just each and every week of how we're going to be used by God to do certain things at our school or in our workplace, does Jesus motivate us to do those hard things? And I've been encouraging you guys to be more courageous and bold right where you are, that you can tell other people about Jesus, because it's not you, but it's God that's going to give you the boldness to do it and give you the strength and the courage and the help to do it. So is Christ the center of everything? Is He the ultimate motivation for everything that we do? Christ-centered means it emphasizes making Christ the core of one's faith and life, leading to a transformed mindset, selfless obedience, and worship directed towards Him. As I was preparing this message, I just felt to expand on this point a bit. Is that if we are growing, and as we grow as a healthy church, we need to understand that a healthy church that pleases Jesus is one that is focused on Him and loving one another. So I just come back to when we gather together for worship and our time together, what is your mind focused on? And I know for many of us, even as we come for worship service and we come to sing songs, it's hard to really focus on God. Why? Because for many of us, especially those who are young, we're concerned about who's to our right. We're concerned about who's to our left. We're concerned about how we sound. Oh, did I hit that note right? Did I sing the song right? Am I messing up? Am I saying the words? And if we just understand that none of those things really matter to God, what He's concerned about is our heart and how we approach Him with reverence. Is that even as we worship, one thing that I do just to focus on God is just I close my eyes so that I can just focus on Him. And I may not actually know all the songs, but I'll just listen to Andrew and Maureen's voice. As I sing, I don't need to be looking necessarily at the PowerPoint, but I want to focus on God and make sure that my attention is on Him. Not overly concerned with how I sound, not overly concerned with who's to my left or who's to my right. And I want to encourage you guys that as we go forward and as we worship, maybe you got to find a different spot in the room. Maybe you have to worship over there by the table so that you can focus on God. Maybe you need to come more closer to the front. But I want to encourage you guys, whatever helps you focus on God when we are worshiping and singing songs to Him, don't be afraid to do it. Because it's not about pleasing the people around you or being overly concerned with what people around you think. But it's about God. And if you need to close your eyes or if you need to go somewhere else so that your heart and your mind can be fully focused on God and that you're here to experience Him and worship your Creator, your Father, then I would encourage you to do that so that He would be praised and receive the worship that He is due. So a Christ-centered gathering, Christ-centered service is one that is focused strictly on Christ. Okay, the scripture reading. I'm going to read it again because I know that probably as Aaron was sharing, there was a lot of things going on over there. There's a lot of stuff happening. We were kind of distracted. I'm sure we didn't actually hear the scripture from Hebrews. Okay, but it came from Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. That's what I want to highlight. Okay, and as we're talking about meeting together, this is what it says in the scripture. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Okay, so just so you guys kind of have an understanding, I talked a little bit about what's happening in Hebrews as the author is writing this letter to a group of believers, is that this church is going, or this church is facing an immense amount of persecution and suffering, to the point where people were just coming into their homes, and if you believed in Jesus, they were dragging you out, taking you to prison, burning down your home, whether or not your family was out of the home or not. This is the type of persecution that this church was facing, the type of hardship that they were facing. And for some of them, it just led them to stop meeting together, stop having service together. And the author is encouraging them, don't do that. Continue to meet together. Continue to encourage one another. Continue to motivate one another, even in the midst of persecution and hardship. See, this scripture, it's meant to be an encouragement for us as well. Just as that writer in Hebrews wanted to emphasize the importance of continuing to meet together, the scripture is meant as an encouragement for us as well, to continue to meet together and encourage one another. So why is that important? Why is that important for us as the church to meet together, to commit to this time that we've set aside to gather together? Whether it's today on a Sunday, or, you know, churches sometimes meet during the week, like on Wednesdays or Thursdays, whatever the time is. We had fellowship last night on Saturday. Whatever the time is that the church meets, why are we encouraged to not neglect it, to not give up meeting together? I'm just going to share two things with you. The first is this, is simply we're commanded by God to. We're commanded by God to not give up meeting together. It's a command. It's what God desires from us as Christians. As Christians, we are commanded to gather together and prioritize the time that has been set aside to worship and pray and study God's word and fellowship. So this time is very important. And it doesn't matter if we are here or we're somewhere else, like in terms of being at university or college. God says we need to prioritize this time. So what does that mean? And I know that you guys understand this. Well, what that means is that according to God, this is a very sacred time. It's a very important time. I shared this briefly with you guys before. There are probably a few things practically in our lives that, you know, would be acceptable for us not committing to the time that we have set aside to gather together. Sometimes people are not feeling well and they absolutely cannot come. Sometimes people are away traveling. Those are all okay reasons, right? But reasons that are probably not that acceptable to God is like, You know, if you decided to go watch a movie instead of coming to church on Sunday, or, you know, if you decided just to stay home and study, or if you decided to just meet up with some friends and play basketball or play volleyball instead of gathering together, we would all be living in disobedience if we made those choices towards God. Those are not acceptable reasons, according to God, that the time that we have set aside to gather, it's a very important time. And everything else that we think is important can actually be scheduled outside of that time so that we can prioritize this time. And because God commands us to do it, to not give up meeting together, we need to also prioritize it. Secondly, why is it important? Well, according to this scripture, we need each other as Christians. If we hope to grow spiritually and endure for the long haul, we need our brothers and sisters in Christ for encouragement. Okay, now I want you to take a look to your left. Whoever is there on your left. If it's nobody, it may be in front of you to your left. Now take a look to your right. Okay? When was the last time that you thought to yourself, aside from God, I actually need that brother or that sister in my life to endure through the Christian journey? Because this is what the scripture is saying, that in order for us to endure through everything the Christian journey brings, yes, we absolutely need God, but we also need our church family. We need our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, that brings up a different type of commitment, a different type of mentality as Christians, that what I actually need that person in the church, if I am to survive as a Christian, if I'm to make it in this journey. And this is why we are encouraged to not give up meeting together. Why? Because when we come together, the truth is that we need one another's love, support, and encouragement. We need that from one another. And the scripture says, especially as the day of Christ's return is drawing near. What does that mean? Well, I shared with you guys that there was a time, probably like 30, 40, 50 years ago, where in our current society, if you told people you were a pastor, they looked at that very highly. Wow, amazing, pastor, doing a great job. Or if you told somebody you were a Christian 30, 40, 50 years ago, they would say, wow, that's a good thing. You do a lot of good things for our people. And you love God, you love Jesus. And now, if you say that you're a Christian, or if you say that you're a pastor in this current culture and society, you'll get asked a whole lot of questions. Well, what do you believe in terms of this? What do you believe in terms of that? People even look at us with maybe thinking that we also operate with a little bit of hate because we stand for certain things that God stands for or that the Bible stands for. And so things are not getting easier in our society. And Jesus actually said that it would get harder before he returns. And that we too will face hardship, we'll face persecution, we will face difficult times if we're actually standing up for our faith in Jesus Christ. And the scripture reminds us that in these moments, we need each other. We need each other. And the encouragement to say, well, keep going. Don't give up. Keep fighting. We need each other's love and support. That even if we're feeling stressed or overwhelmed with something in life, that we can encourage one another, pray for one another, support one another, And this is sometimes challenging because it means that we need to be selfless with our love. But God desires that we move from a system of church and actually grow as a family. What do I mean by that? Is that, you know, when we come for our service time, yes, we sing songs, that's great, that's amazing. We listen to a sermon, that's great, that's amazing. And we have a time of fellowship, that is also great and amazing. But is there the opportunity to actually hear what somebody has gone through in their week? When you leave on a Sunday, can you honestly say that you know where a fellow brother or sister is in terms of their life, their struggles, their successes, what they need prayer for, how you can be supporting them, how you can be praying for them? Like, this is what God desires, is that we grow as a family. And so if we just simply come, check in and check out, but we're not actually taking time to understand how we can support our fellow brother or sister, then again, we're missing the point. And this is why we're trying to create a different type of structure in this season, where even that time that we have during Sunday school, it will be a time for us to just hear about each other's week, see how each other is doing, pray for one another, encourage one another, and study the Bible together. Next week, I'm going to talk about the early church. Such a special time in history, but also a great example for us in terms of how we can live. But the early church was devoted to so many things. And I feel like for us also as Christians, we need to get back to some of that. Because there's a lot of people just slipping through the cracks, going through life, going through the Christian journey, feeling isolated, feeling alone, not feeling supported. And then 5 years down the road, we find out that they've quit on their faith. They're no longer a Christian. They're not connected to a church. And we sometimes wonder why. Well, the reason sometimes is because that person never felt connected to begin with. They didn't feel a part of a family, which is what God desires. And I'm going to teach on this next week. That if we're to be a healthy church, it means we're a loving family. And that sounds nice to say that. Yes, we're a loving family. But what does that look like according to the Bible? To be a loving family. This is what God desires. There are many churches out there doing the system of church very well. Making money. And I'm not speaking about here, but there are many churches that are just focused on the system of church and exploiting people for their money. But what God desires is that the church grows to become a family. That means that for each of us, we should know what is going on in each other's life. And in a family, it can be challenging, it can be difficult. But we support one another, right? With your blood family, you know that you support them. You got them no matter what. It's the same in the church family, that we are to love each other the same way. That our fellow brother and sister, that we know them, and that at the same time, we have them no matter what happens. And so this is the journey that I'm hoping that we can go on. And I know for some of us, we will want to go on that journey because maybe we've been desiring those things that God desires for a while. And if we go on that journey of actually trying to grow as a family and grow in our knowledge of the Bible and become united as a group that is focused on Christ's mission and do that with the power, the same power that Christ ministered with, that is the type of church I believe is one that makes a real difference in the world. And so this is the journey that we're going to go on. And the only thing that I will encourage you guys with, and I'll close with this, is every time we gather, our focus is going to be on Christ. That He is the center of it all. He's the center of our worship. He's the center of the teaching. He's the center of our fellowship. He's the center of communion. Everything points to Him and is about Him and is meant to glorify Him. And so I encourage you that every Sunday, before you come through those doors, however, you need to prepare your heart. Prepare your heart to be focused on God. Prepare your heart to come ready to be reverent towards God, because that's what He deserves, but also that's what will please Him. And I hope, just like me, that your desire is to please God. And even with our worship, I'll encourage you guys, find a way that you can worship Him, where you're strictly focused on Him, not overly concerned with who's around you, but your heart is focused on God. Your mind is focused on God, and you're actually here to worship Him and to love Him and to respond to His word. Okay, and so we're going to continue to learn what it means to be a healthy church and how we can do that together as a family, because we need each other, and we need each other if we are going to survive and make it all the way to the end. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your truth. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that You would reveal Your truth to us. God, I know that there are some here who want to grow deeper. And there are some who just want to go through the motions, and that's okay. Because You said that the wheat would grow amongst the weed. That in every church family, every gathering of church, there are going to be a few who genuinely want to grow as Your disciple. And there are going to be many who are just here to check in and check out. I don't know what that means or what that looks like on the day of judgment. God, You are in control of that. I don't even know if that type of attitude is enough to save someone's soul from judgment. But God, You know each of our hearts. You know where each of us are at in our Christian journey. And I just pray that for the ones who do desire to know You more and to grow to become like You, Jesus, that You would just allow Your word to become alive in our hearts. That Your word would become alive in our spirit. And that for those who are genuinely serious about responding to Your word, because God, You are always talking, but if we're serious about listening to Your word and being obedient to Your word, then I pray that You will take us on that journey of growing together as a family, where we can genuinely know one another, genuinely love one another, genuinely support one another, and genuinely grow in our knowledge of the Bible and grow in becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because this is Your desire, God, for the church. And we just missed the point in so many different ways. But help us to get back to just hearing Your word, seeing what You ask for, seeing what You desire, and just living in obedience to it. So I pray that in each of us, You would grow us in our reverence, grow us spiritually, and remind us that as we run this race, it is a race of endurance, and we need each other if we are going to survive all the way to the end. So God, I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your mercy today. And I just pray that You would continue to minister to each of us throughout this upcoming week. In Your name, Your awesome and Your holy name, I pray. Amen.